Homeostasis and cultural development. What do the two have in common? Next on this episode of Innovo Radio.
Welcome to Innovo Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
Welcome to Innovo Radio, and today I want to talk. I want to continue to talk a little bit about culture, and to talk about a book by a neuroscientist named Antonio Damasio called "The Strange." The Strange Order of Things. I had it right in my head and just forgot it. The Strange Order of Things. And Damasio is a neuroscientist. He's a Portuguese-American neuroscientist. And he is a professor of neuroscience, psychology, and philosophy at the University of Southern California. Don't want to get those two USCs mixed up. And he has done a lot of work in neuroscience, emotions, and how they play a central role in decision making and social cognition and those kinds of things. And I used Damasio in my doctoral work when I looked at neuroscience and behavioral change. It is almost 10 years ago. So he's written a couple of books, and he's a very smart man and a very good but a good writer as well. In this particular book, Damasio looks at feelings and emotions and their role in the development of the nervous central nervous system. And then he uses that to have a look at the cultural expressions that arise from those emotions and those feelings, because he believes that those feelings haven't been given the credit they deserve as motives, monitors, and negotiators of how we develop culture. This is his look at it. He makes a statement regarding it's a word we've looked at in a previous podcast, it's a Greek word called homeostasis. He said feelings are the mental expressions of homeostasis. And so let's talk a little bit about what homeostasis is, because it's an important term and not just in for our purposes, but in a lot of different ways. So homeostasis is a Greek word that means sameness, and it's the tendency to resist change in order to maintain a stable and relatively constant internal environment. So here's an idea of what's going on. So what's the temperature in the room where you're sitting, or maybe your car or your office? In my office where I'm recording this, it's probably in the mid 70s, so it's not 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, but my body temperature is usually very close to that 98.6, right? I mean, that's for years, ever since I've heard about taking your temperature, you know, that's the normal body temperature is 98.6. But if your body, core body temperature, doesn't stay within this a couple of degrees of 98.6, that can kill you. You know, I do remember when I was a kid, I went to the hospital one time because I had a temperature of 102, and they told my parents to put me in an ice bath. just to try to get my temperature down, because you need a stable, constant internal temperature, or your body will begin to shut down. There are in your stomach, we think of probiotics. You know, your stomach has to maintain a pH level that's different from the organs around it, so that it doesn't, you know, because of the acid that eats, basically digests the food or breaks down the food in your body. There has to be a balance there. There are all kinds of things in relationship to our physical body. And your body tries to do this. It functions this way to survive. If it doesn't maintain these temperatures, if it doesn't, if your stomach doesn't function properly, the acid doesn't function properly, you're not able to break down food correctly, or you get acid reflux, you get sick at your stomach, all kinds of things happen. But it's basically a way for the body to maintain the stable conditions for survival. The idea was actually coined in 1930 by a physician named Walter Cannon in his book, The Wisdom of the Body. So back to Damasio for a minute. His concept is that feelings draw their powers from homeostasis, that each person in their attempt to manage suffering and flourishing, when we function every day, our feelings are a way to manage that. When we're hurting emotionally or physically, we feel that. Our body feels that. When we're excited and our adrenaline's going, our body feels that. And so, as we work, as we function, as we live, those emotions that we have that arise in our life, it's our body's attempt to manage the highs and lows of life. And it's those highs and lows of life that prompt us to consider cultural change, cultural creation, or to bring change or bring adaptation into the world in which we function and live. Because if someone's words hurt us emotionally, then we're going to want to change the environment in which we live so those words don't happen again. Those words don't come at us again. And that may mean we leave the situation. That may mean we try to change the mind of the other person. In extreme cases, we might try to kill that other person, or, you know, silence them eternally, forever. So those highs and lows act as motivators in the process of bringing change to culture. And so the feelings that we have are important. We try to think past feelings. We try to disregard feelings. We try to abandon our feelings and focus really on logic. But it is that's a very difficult thing to do. It's a very unnatural thing to do, because feelings are a huge motivator, or play a huge function and role in our lives as we live. Everything we do, all the decisions that we make, are colored by the feelings that or the emotions that we have in our life. I've talked about this before, but the way our decision-making process works is when an input comes into our mind, it travels in two different paths to get to the decision-making areas of our brain. One is a straight shot there to the prefrontal cortex, but the other goes through the amygdala, or the emotional center of the brain, and then it goes to the prefrontal cortex. So, but that pathway through the prefrontal cortex, through the amygdala, is a faster pathway. And so what we have discovered, what science has discovered, is that any attempt to be rational in our thought processes is really just our brain trying to rationalize the feelings that we have, the emotions that we have. And so because of that, Damasio says that our feelings create motives for cultural change and corporate change and areas of change. We want to change the areas of life that impact us. I heard a speaker, Andy Stanley, say one time that the primary driver of vision is pain. Something hurts us. We are hurt by something, someone, emotionally, and that pain drives us to keep that from ever happening again. And that is, in effect, homeostasis. And so when we think about how we define culture, how we generate culture, how we change culture, we have to look at this idea of feelings, because feelings create motives, and motives create passion and vision, and that passion and vision are drivers for behavioral change, for cultural change, for environmental change, for change in general. And so as part of this fundamental set of operations at the core of our lives, homeostasis plays a big part in that. We try to bring, we work to bring this level of balance and sameness to our lives, because we don't want to hurt, and at the same time we don't want to be on adrenaline all the time. You can be too high, you can be too low. We want to be balanced, and that's what homeostasis does. And feelings drive the body's homeostatic processes. And so they're catalysts for the responses that began human cultures. Now, those feelings could have motivated the processes, the concepts that brought the arts and philosophical inquiry and religious beliefs and moral beliefs and justice and political systems and economic systems and technology and science. I mean, one of the, you know, we understand it particularly from an economic system. You have all of these people you have poverty in our world, and a way to bring homeostasis to that poverty is to take from those who have and give it to those who don't, and to create this balance. And we do that out of the way we feel, which develops motives, which develops a whole system and a whole culture. That's why we have Marxism and fascism, communism, in an ideal world. And there's a lot of concepts of power that are associated with those as well. So when you think about affecting change in your own organization or in your own culture, you have to add feelings to the mix. Human creativity is rooted in feeling and emotion. It's rooted in motives that arise, and those all arise from feelings. And so, as you consider that, just think about how you try to drive change. How do you lead in that way? Is it born out of pain? Is it born out of some feeling that you have that has turned into a motive? And we really need to check the motive based off of that feeling, because change needs to be, in some ways, for the right motive. You don't change for change's sake. You don't change out of vindictiveness, not at least not in a healthy way. We check your motives. We may feel hurt. We don't want other people to feel that way. And so we try to affect change. We get sick. We don't want others to feel that way. So we try to affect change. We see a business in decline. We don't want that to happen to us. We don't want that to happen in our leadership. So we affect change. And all of those flow from our emotions and our feelings. So feelings are a much bigger driver in how culture developed, how it's defined, how it's changed, how we transition that culture. And so check your motives and check your feelings. We would love to say that this is a rational expression of what we think it needs to be done. But really, we think things need to change. We think things need to be done differently because of the emotions that we have, whether it's an emotion based on something negative that happened to us or emotions that is based on something that's positively happened to us. So think about that and check your motives. And then define your define your feelings and make sure that all of that is healthy. Because unhealthy motives for change bring eventual destruction. Things crumble. Because you can only be motivated by hate or anger or power for so long until it begins to chip away at you and chip away at your organization, chip away at your life, brick by brick. So check those motives, check those feelings, and realize amongst everything that you're trying to do to affect change and affect transition in your world, that one of the primary drivers of that is my emotions. And pick up Damasio's book, The Strange Order of Things. It's a healthy read. It's a tough read, but it would be a good read for you. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next month. Have a great day. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Innovo Radio. Check out my website, wdavidphillips.com. It's got information about me and some services that I offer and some things that I can do for you, and I'd love to be able to serve you any way I can. Also, it's got links there to my Facebook page, my Twitter account, all those things. You can find an archive of podcast episodes, my blog, some things that I write on, and all that stuff. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening in today. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.